You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Spend your afternoon with Azania Mosaka on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
So this afternoon, as Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, Gwede Mantashe, appears at the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, we're looking at an announcement that he made recently. So we're curious about power ships. A power ship, in essence, is a special purpose ship on which a power plant is installed to serve as a power generation resource. So Car Power Ship is a Turkish company with a South African empowerment partner. So three of their projects have been included on this list of eight projects that were announced recently by the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy. And in essence, they would be based in different harbors, Richards Bay, as well as Saldanha. And they would be then powering or providing power into the grid. But what are the implications? What more do we need to know about power ships? Are they the right solutions for South Africa? And when you think about South Africa increasing its own independence and its own capacity, does this serve that function? Because it is an agreement of 20 years. So Chris Yelland is with us. He's an MD of EE Business Intelligence. And he's just going to shed some light on this question. And we'll take your calls as well on 011-883-0702. Chris, good afternoon. Thank you for your time today.
Yes, good afternoon, and to your listeners.
So, are power ships right for South Africa?
Well, it depends on who you speak to, but look, this was an emergency procurement process because South Africa is desperately short of generation capacity and energy, electricity, and we see this from the regular load shedding that we face even as recently as last night. And it's likely to continue for the next several years. And there is, there's an urgent need for new generation capacity. Generation capacity has been delayed both from the Dupi and Kusile, these large mega projects. The renewable energy IPP program was delayed by Mr. Koko and Mr. Malefi for some 5 years. And we are facing the consequences of this right now. Also because Eskom's existing coal-fired power stations are very old, and they're not performing well, as old plants are inclined to do. They haven't been taken properly. They've been pushed hard. And so we've got this convergence of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Old plants, poorly maintained, new plants, Medupi and Kusile, coming on late, the renewable energy IPP program delayed for at least 5 years, and that's why we have a shortage. So there is a need for emergency power. The question is, what emergency power do we need in the shortest possible time that provides the least CO2 emissions, that is not a burden on our water resources, that meets our environmental goals in terms of CO2 reduction, and provides jobs and opportunities in a just energy transition with local content, local manufacturing, and local jobs to maximize these. So these are the issues in the choice of technologies. Of course, cost is important, but there are other socioeconomic and environmental issues that are equally important.
Mm. Well, you've touched on a number of issues that we'll unpack and get more details on with you while we have you in that response alone. But electricity tariffs have been top of mind for many South Africans in light of the recent increase in Eskom tariffs. So this this particular exercise, as you said, this is part of the risk mitigation IPP procurement program. How do the power ship tariffs compare? Are they lower?
No, they're not the least of the eight bidders. They were amongst the lowest, but they're not the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Lower than them was a renewable energy plus battery storage project. And that project came in lower than the car power ships tariff. And not only that, and this is important to note, the price of these car power ships projects, which are virtually fully imported. In other words, the fuel, LNG, liquefied natural gas, is imported. and the power ships and fuel storage barges and regasification plants are all imported in the sense that they're not even owned in South Africa. They are leased. It's like renting a car from a foreign owner. So all the money that Eskom pays these three IPPs, virtually all of the money is going overseas. It's like e-tolls. the money is basically paid, the large money is paid in fuel, liquefied natural gas, which is paid to overseas suppliers, and the renting or the leasing of the barges, these power ships and the regasification, all goes overseas. And that is the vast majority of the plant. Only the crumbs under the table, you might say, a bit of maintenance for, and the mooring costs of the harbour are the local content. And they have an exemption. You know, the Kenya document called for 50% local content. But no sooner, just before the award was made, there was an exemption of the power ships. They do not have to comply with the local content requirements. Are a designated component.
That's the other question I wanted to ask you, because we're seeing concerns about, or questions raised about, the exemptions that have been given from the DTIC on the local content exemptions for the power ships. And also Barbara Creasy raised concerns about exemptions around the environmental perspective, environmental impact studies and so on, of having these ships in our ports. Tell us more in that regard about the exemptions that the power ships seem to be getting.
Now, before I go on to that, I just want to answer your previous question a little bit further, and then we'll go on to that. The question was about the tariffs and are they cheap. You can say of these eight bidders, the prices are not very different. They're all in the range of about 150 to 175 per kilowatt hour, which the spread is not very high. But two-thirds of the projects are car power ships. Power ships. One third is renewable energy and battery storage and a little bit of gas. And the imported component of the car power ships, as I said, is very, very high and therefore is linked to foreign exchange rates. In other words, the price that is bid today is not a fixed price for the next 20 years. It varies according to the following: the US dollar price of liquefied natural gas, the rand to dollar exchange rate, and the carbon price, that is the carbon tax. Now, all of these variables are likely to push this price up dramatically over the next 20 years. When the rand weakens, the imported price goes up. When the U.S. dollar price of LNG, like the oil price, is expressed in U.S. dollars, that is a variable cost, and it affects the price that we're going to pay. Now, all of these upside risks, the LNG price, US dollar, rand exchange rate, and the carbon tax, these are all upside risks that are going to be borne by the customer in the tariff. So the price is not fixed. Contrast that with the battery storage plus wind plus solar projects. Those prices are fixed in real terms for the next 20 years. So one has significant upside risk and the other one is fixed in real terms. The only increase will be inflationary increases year by year because the price is linked to the cost price index, the consumer price index. And that means the inflation rate. So in real terms, the price is constant over 20 years, whereas in the car power ships, it's a variable price over 20 years and with very significant upside risk to the customer.
Yeah, and it's for 20 years. That's the other thing that we are increasing our dependence, or saying we're not going to invest in developing our own capacity, but that we'll buy this capacity, which is something that we've seen so many other African countries do. And we seem to be making a similar mistake in this, or a similar step in this regard, and at great cost.
May I chip in here and just give you an analogy? If you're going to need a car for business, you've got a bit of an emergency, you've had a breakdown, and you need a car for the next week or two, maybe a month, the cheapest option is to to rent a car from Avis or Hertz or Europcar, one of these overseas companies. If you need a car for 20 years or 10 years or even for 5 years, you do not rent a car. Mm. You buy a car, you service it, and you make sure you look after it, because that is the cheapest option and it fixes your price. You know, you bought the thing, you know what it's cost. The only thing that's variable really is the interest rate. And that's linked to the inflation rate. So that's the best way of doing it. So to actually rent a car for 20 years is actually madness. Mm.
And on top of that, it doesn't create jobs. It does not create jobs.
It's all imported. It's all imported. Rent, you're renting it. You don't own it. Nobody manufactured it here. You're renting it ready-made, as it were.
Yeah, this is raising concerns, but as far as the environmental impact, because there were issues around questions around how maybe consultants and some government officials may have there are specific environmental laws that were nearly violated, but I think this one was caught early enough, but there are clearly exemptions as well coming from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. These exemptions that the power ships are getting, that's where we were. Just before we wrap up for headlines, can you break that down?
Yeah. Look, initially, apparently, the power ships owners got an exemption kind of based on the fact, claiming it was an emergency because of COVID-19. And they were given an exemption, and it was then identified that this was a false and misleading sort of justification for these exemptions. And they reversed those exemptions. So they still now have to get environmental approvals from the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. And that's a process that they're going to have to go through, a public process. It could be subject to appeals in courts. And these things can delay what is known as financial closure, which is when the deal is done. So at the moment, the deal is not done. The deal is that they are the preferred bidders, subject to getting environmental approvals, getting port authority approvals, signing a power purchase agreement with Eskom, and getting the banks to come up with the money and at financial closure. So the deal is not yet done, and there are some doubts as to whether it will get done in time by the end of July when financial closure has to be achieved.
Mm. So this plan is hinging on as you said, two-thirds on power ships, which might not be able to fulfill the requirements on time.
And that means we will continue to have shortages. So we sort of caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. You know, if this process is stalled, it'll have to start again. But we have yet to see what's going to happen and whether there are any legal challenges. But if there are legal challenges and appeals in respect of the environmental authorizations, it could delay financial closure, as it has done in other projects. I'll give you an example. The new coal IPP projects, which were announced some 4 years ago, have never been brought to financial closure. And the banks have since withdrawn their funding because of it just hasn't reached that stage because of environmental challenges and not being able to meet the environmental requirements. These new coal projects are dirty. They use a lot of water. They don't meet the environmental requirements, and they emit a lot of CO2, and therefore they were subject to legal challenges, which actually scuppered the whole thing.
Mm. Right. And in this case as well, there would be a use of fossil fuels, which does not take us away from the reduction of greenhouse gases. Like, just so this idea of mitigating climate change and reducing greenhouse gases is also not assisted in this regard.
Well, look, a power plant emits less CO2 and less other toxic emissions than coal.
Than a coal station.
Okay. But not that dramatically, much less.
Okay.
We're going to need to dramatically reduce our carbon emissions. The world is going to have to dramatically reduce it if we're going to meet the objectives of what is known as net carbon zero by 2050. Hmm. We're going to have to not just slightly reduce our carbon emissions, but really very significantly reduce them. So this change, these are not very helpful in that regard.
Hmm. Well, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for explaining some of the issues. I think it is a story that South Africans have to watch quite carefully because this pertains to long-term agreements and, of course, a more sustainable power supply. Thank you for your time.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. That's Chris Yelland, MD of EE Business.